the Alaska Public Offices Commission reviews a complaint against a Skagway assemblyman. And planning for a spike in Alaskan cruise visitors. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories are up next. The Alaska Public Offices Commission has not yet decided how to resolve the most recent complaint lodged against longtime Skagway Assemblyman Dan Henry. The commission addressed the issue at a regular meeting Wednesday. The complaint was filed by Skagway resident Roger Griffin in September 2017. It claims Henry violated state law by failing to disclose two things on his candidate financial forms over two election cycles. APOC only took up one of those claims. The assertions stem back to trips taken in 2013 and 2014, related to a tidelands lease between the municipality of Skagway and White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. Henry and other Skagway representatives traveled to Florida for talks with the company that operates the railroad, TWC Enterprises. Henry addressed Griffin's complaint at the APOC meeting.
I don't know how much more crystal clear I can make it. Mr. Griffin thinks that there's some sort of nefarious behind closed doors negotiating going on that's being influenced by lavish gifts from White Pass. Nothing could be more ridiculous than that assertion.
First, Griffin claims Henry didn't disclose gifts of travel provided by TWC, exceeding $250 in 2013 and 2014. Second, that Henry failed to disclose debts to the IRS and APOC from 2016, when he was running for office last year. APOC staff said the second allegation has already been addressed by another Skagway resident who lodged a complaint. APOC fined Henry $220 in 2017 for not reporting substantial debt. That debt was because he was fined $22,000 in 2016 for not reporting income on disclosure statements. Henry has said he didn't report that amount because he's appealed the APOC fine in that case. It was discovered when Henry pleaded guilty to federal tax crimes earlier that year. He served time in prison and was ordered to pay $600,000 in restitution to the IRS. In the most recent complaint, APOC staff concluded Henry violated state law by failing to disclose gifts, travel lodging, covered by TWC in 2013. Henry's 2014 disclosures did not include them. They said there wasn't enough information to determine if this was the case in subsequent years. APOC could only verify a little over $500 in hotel costs paid by TWC in 2013. These kinds of violations incur a penalty of $10 per day. There were 1,276 days between when Henry filed his incomplete 2014 disclosures and when this complaint was filed, meaning the maximum penalty is $12,760. APOC staff said the nearly $13,000 penalty was out of proportion. They recommended reducing that by 90% to about $1,300. Staff also said the 2014 filings should be amended and said Henry should attend a candidate disclosure training session within a year. Complainant Griffin encouraged the commission to adopt the staff's recommendations. Henry challenged the findings.
I do, however, take issue with the calculation for the proposed fine. I believe that reducing the fine by 90% for a repeat offender sends a message that Alaska's election laws are of little consequence and can be safely ignored. I urge you to calculate the fine to a standard more consistent with Mr. Henry's status as a repeat offender.
He also pushed back on the way the visits to Florida are described in the APOC staff report. He said the term negotiating should be removed.
Nothing ever was negotiated. No influence could be waged by the other side.
The commission voted to take the complaint under advisement. They will issue a written decision. Henry served on the Skagway Assembly for nearly two decades before going to prison. He returned to Skagway last summer and was narrowly re-elected to the local government. Reporting in Haines, I'm Abby Collins. the number of cruise ship passengers visiting Alaska will jump almost 20% over the next 2 years, and that means port cities need to plan for the infrastructure needed to support that many people. But one industry idea could reduce community control of the fees cruise ships pay. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Cruise lines are bringing more and more tourists to Alaska. Passenger numbers topped 1 million for the first time last summer. Cruise Lines International Association Alaska President John Binkley says they'll continue to go up.
17 was great. 18 is going to be great. But 2019 is what I'm excited about.
That's the year 1.3 million passengers are expected to arrive. The number is almost a fifth more than visited last summer.
Sometimes there's new ships that are coming into the market. Sometimes there's larger ships that are replacing smaller ships. And sometimes they're adding to the shoulder seasons to have more voyages.
Starting this summer, the larger ships will really be larger. The Norwegian Bliss will carry up to 4,000 passengers, plus crew, starting this June. The Ovation of the Seas will come in the following year, with as many as 5,000 passengers per sailing. That's double the capacity of some ships already traveling the region. Binkley, speaking to the recent Southeast Conference mid-session summit, says the growth requires more infrastructure.
It's not just one community having the facilities to be able to handle that ship. You have to have at least three ports to be able to have a ship like that be able to deploy to Alaska.
But so far, only Ketchikan, Juneau, and Skagway can handle such vessels. They're the biggest southeast ports, and they get the largest share of passenger fees. Binkley says those total about $45 million a year statewide. He says pooling that money would allow other cities to boost their industries too.
We could be building a brand new dock each and every year in new communities around southeast Alaska if we worked together and said, what's the best way to take these dollars that we have and utilize them to grow the industry and to have everybody in southeast share and benefit from the industry?
It's not a formal proposal, but the Cruise Association has already sued the capital city, challenging local control on how such funds are used. Juneau City Manager Rory Watt agrees more regional planning is needed, but he takes a different approach. He invited other community leaders to join the Southeast Cruise Port Association, which held its first meeting during the mid-session summit.
I'm not under any illusion that we're all going to cede local control of our communities to each other, but I think we can get together on some very broad ideas.
Those include improved communication and regional readiness for changes, such as quickly growing passenger numbers. The industry's share the wealth idea is of interest to Russell Dick, CEO of the Huna Totem Corporation, which owns the Icy Strait Point attraction. The renovated cannery and mile-long zipline completed its first dock 2 years ago, which brought more ships and visitors. Dick says it's looking toward construction of a second dock, which would support further growth.
It's all about tour capacity, right, and having the infrastructure in place to handle the increase in ships and ship passengers. And for us, that's quite a bit. That's a lot of people coming through.
The cruise business is a significant part of Alaska's visitor industry. A Cruise Association report says ships, passengers, and crew members spent about $1 billion during the last summer's season, and the passengers made up more than half of all visitors to the state. I'm Ed Schoenfeld, reporting in Juneau.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us tonight. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.